Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Newsmakers Podcast. Today, we're talking about the new DOE efficiency guidelines that are going into effect in a few months. To do that, we're bringing in Chris Forth, who is a 30-plus year veteran of the HVAC industry. The JCI executive most recently is spending his days in the regulatory and code space, where he is heavily involved in industry codes and standards development, as well as industry advocacy efforts at the state, federal, and international levels. So thanks for joining us today, Chris.
Glad to be here, Kyle.
Absolutely. We want to talk about the efficiency guidelines. So could you tell me a little bit about what the DOE 2023 federal efficiency change is and when it officially goes into effect?
Now, certainly. So the new regulations take effect beginning January 1st, so just a few months away, and they're going to mandate all new minimum efficiency requirements for single phase residential, as well as all the commercial HVAC equipment at the same time. So the minimum that we can manufacture is going up for everyone.
So to talk about how the efficiency requirements are changing, I guess, what are we dealing with now and what are we going to be looking at in 2023?
Yeah, so the efficiencies are going to go up roughly, 15% for everyone. But there's a bit of a new twist to this where the efficiency metrics that we've all been used to for many years now are changing. And this is for residential. They're converting from SEER to what we call SEER 2 or EER to EER 2. And for heat pumps, HSPF to HSPF 2. And basically, not only are we getting new minimum efficiency standards, but there's a new DOE test procedure that comes along with it that's driving these new SEER 2 metrics, which are going to look a little strange to contractors. So when they see it, the numbers are going to look odd. In other words, they're not going to be even types of numbers like, 14 SEER or 15 SEER. They're going to see numbers like 13.4 SEER. And that's because the new test procedures are basically going to drive that. The products have to be tested at a higher external static, in other words, the air that they move. And therefore, it's going to drive kind of this odd looking metric. I would say the thing that is staying the same from the last change is there's still going to be these for residential again as north region, south or southeast region and southwest regions. Those will still be in place for residential, but commercial is still going to be, one big national metric.
Okay. Well, so stick with the SEER part of it. Seems like that could be kind of confusing for the homeowner as well, in addition to the contractor. So it's going to be a little bit more explanation at the kitchen table, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a bit of an awkward conversation. And I think one of the questions the contractors are going to get asked is, why the change, right? Why the change from a SEER to this odd-looking SEER 2 and the numbers that come with it? And really, the answer is, DOE felt like the current test procedures that have been in place for many years didn't really reflect the applications that the products, our residential products were installed in. So they implemented these new metrics. And consequently, when they implemented the new metrics, they assigned them these new SEER 2 metrics. So basically it just says, hey, instead of running at a certain resistance, when you put in all the new, I'll call it, filtration, that's come into play recent years for obvious reasons, certain types of ductwork. They really felt like, hey, you needed the external static pressure needed to be increased, and hence the new metrics.
Now, you guys as a manufacturer know what it's going to be? Like, where this is probably going to end up at a 16.5, or you're kind of at the mercy of the DOE a little bit, and you'll be pleasantly or unpleasantly surprised when the numbers come back?
Yeah, the good news is we've had, really six years to get ready for this. Now, there's been a lot of changes in that time, but DOE's required every 6 years and 7 years to look at either the test procedure or the new standards. So we've known what they're going to be for some time. What's been a little hard to ascertain, with all the things that have changed is, with the supply chain issues and everything else with COVID, trying to get the components and making sure that we can hit those numbers in our tests, you know, in our lab tests and so forth. But we kind of know, we've known what they were for a while, just actually executing it has been probably the bigger challenge for us.
Yeah, because in the supply chain, the components for the high efficiency products are the most difficult to get, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, you know, there's been a lot of things in the news about, you know, chips and that issue, you know, with the supply chain, particularly, you know, in the regions of the world where they're sourced that have been particularly hard hit, right, with the COVID. You know, the higher efficiency products have, you know, a lot of those have variable frequency drives that support variable speed. And those drives, of course, all have chips in them. But even more so, those chips are used in even basic, I'll call it the entry-level products that DOE is mandating here. So it's been a ripple effect. It's been more of a challenge for the high efficiency, but it's affecting really all the tiers from entry-level to high tier.
Got it. And then you're talking a little bit about how we're doing the regional standards again on the residential side of it. Would it be accurate to say every region is going up by the same percentage, or are we kind of all over the place?
Yeah, just like last time, it's a little different for each region, right? So I'll just pick one region, the North's, you know, today's minimum is a 13 SEER for the 2023, you know, beginning on that date. It goes to 14 SEER. And then when you convert that 14 SEER to the new SEER 2 metric, it drops down to that strange looking 13.4. So said, well, maybe said another way is 13 SEER is going to 13.4 SEER 2 for the North. The regions in the Southeast are consequently going from, you know, 14 SEER minimums today to a 15 SEER, and they'll drop down to a 14.3. The catch in the Southwest, you know, mainly, you know, California and Arizona and those areas, they still have to have that EER component, energy efficiency ratio, which is a measure of full load metric, because those are obviously more arid, more desert locations, and they run at full speed a lot of the time. So that EER requirement will remain for the Southwest, just as it did last time.
Okay. And we're looking at January 1st, 2023. Is that our deadline here?
Yeah, that's the deadline. And what that deadline means is that, you know, for us, for JCI as a manufacturer, beginning on 1/1/2023 is the date I have to start manufacturing these new SEER 2 products for each of those regions. In other words, the products that I made prior, right, manufactured prior, you know, can be sold through if you're one of those products that are what we call date of manufacture. There are two sets of products in the Southeast and the Southwest, right? They're air conditioning products. And just want to make clear, it's not heat pumps, that have to be installed by the end of this year. And I don't mean just sold, I mean installed. So if you're in one of those regions in the Southeast or Southwest and you're selling air conditioners, right? Those products have to be completely installed. So distributor has to sell it to the contractor, and the contractor has to have it fully installed if you're in the Southeast and Southwest. Otherwise, those products are basically stranded inventory. Now, they can be moved to the North region, right? Because those 14 SEER products can be installed in the North where it's still a 13 SEER minimum. But at the same time, you know, that's what makes this transition tricky, is this those two date of install air conditioning products.
Yeah, it seems like a logistical nightmare, especially when you consider supply chain, maybe things are taking a little bit longer, and just contractors aren't quite sure how, you know, how many are going to break or how warm the weather is going to be here in the next few months. So it's almost like you have to err towards having fewer products than more. Is there, are you guys giving any advice to your contractors on how to deal with this?
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, what we're doing, and I think most of the major OEMs are doing the same, is we're phasing out those air conditioners in the Southeast and the Southwest early, right? So we've already had last call dates on those products. Of course, I think all the OEMs are challenged with lead times, but we phased out the orders for those for some time now. So we're trying to get out of those and transition to the new SEER 2 products as quick as we can. Now that's just at our level, right? At the OEM level. So that still means the distributor has to sell those to the contractor, and the contractor has to have them fully installed by that time. So really, we're trying to get this done early and transitioned early. The other thing we're doing, quite frankly, is we're saying, hey, you know, there, if you've got some of those AC products on order that are date of install products, you might want to, where it's allowed, convert some of those orders to heat pumps. And the reason is, you know, heat pumps are a national standard and they're date of manufacture products. So there's no risk of any type of heat pump being, you know, be it a split system heat pump or a package heat pump, of it being, quote, stranded inventory. So that's a couple of the mitigating, you know, actions that we're trying to, you know, convey.
Got it. Well, Chris, thanks for your time. You kind of made broke down a difficult subject pretty easy for us. So it sounds like you know what you're doing. So I really appreciate you you taking some time with us today.
Well, thank you, Kyle, for having us on, and happy to get the word out. The key to this transition and really past transitions is that the OEMs, the distributors, and the contractors all really need to stay in close communication. That's really the vital. And, you know, it's never been more important than this, the days we live in, you know, with all the supply chain disruptions. So, you know, communication's key. So appreciate you having me on, Kyle.
Absolutely.